Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. You know, I got to say, I just thoroughly enjoyed listening to Jennifer Stone and Erica Much last week. They were absolutely fantastic. It just makes me so proud that I work with these phenomenal people, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, they're come on every once in a while, as you well know. So we'll get them back in here. And as a good friend of mine said, shot me a text last week. He said something along the lines of, "Dave Petso, who? These guys are great." And they were. And so, anyway, I really appreciate them taking the show last week. And but I've got a couple things I want to kind of dive into this week. There's so much, right? We've got COVID stuff that's busting out, right? We've got all these studies of what's going on in Israel, and therefore what could be happening in our country very, very quickly, quicker, I think, than, if you will, the general consensus is. So we'll see. We'll talk about that a little bit and some of those particular numbers. Generally today, though, I want to talk along these lines, right? It's one of those things where you think about this. I think about this as such a gift, right? I really firmly believe that God gave me a sense of optimism. It's not me. Now, it's my job to work on that, right, and not to get doom and gloom and pessimistic. It's also my job not to be Pollyanne either, right? I don't want to just, like, you know, as you will, whistle your way past the graveyard and ignore all problems in the world. I want to be out there and fighting the good fight. But I'm always asked the question, something like this: how can you be so optimistic when, fill in the blank? And this has gone on literally for 40 years. It really has. And it's not like you have this Teflon that's just like, well, that's bad news, but it just bounces off. That's not how that works. And so I'm gonna turn that around in a lot of different ways today, particularly in the second hour, and really deal with that, because we really need to try to reestablish a correct vision. Like, the sky is blue. You can paint it whatever color you want in your mind, but it is blue. The world is abundant, period. It's very, very abundant, period. You can find ways to paint how bad it is, how much you don't like it. You hate the people that are in charge. But the world is very abundant. I didn't say the world is perfect. It's not a perfect world. It's not exactly, everything doesn't happen exactly the way you would think it should. It's not perfect. But it's awfully, amazingly abundant. I was listening to a song from 1971, it turns out, right? I love how that, you know, nowadays it pops up and it's like, I can't believe that. 77, that's 50 years ago. 50. You know, it was just, it was Drift Away. Something, Drift Away. Which I love that song. It just fills my soul. And I just love that song. So I'm just like, and then you look up on the dash, right? I'm driving down the road and I look up on the dash and I go, wow, 71. No way. 50 years ago. And my grandparents were alive and they were, you know, and all that stuff was, you know, I was just a teenager. I don't even know if I was a teenager, right? I was 10 years old. And 50 years before that is 100 years ago, right? I mean, we all can do math. But I'm just all of a sudden in my mind, I'm going, bam, bam. And all the abundance and what's happened in this world in 100 years. What my grandparents went through in just a normal lifetime. World wars, real deal world wars, where millions of people were killed. all of those, if you will, African babies that starved, the Chinese that starved, millions, billions collectively over the years, over the decades. No, it just doesn't happen anymore. And but we're all fussed about what? I have to wear a mask or I don't have to wear a mask. I mean, all these things that are just like just crazy stuff that we get fussed about. Interest rates are too high. I don't like the politicians over here. Rah, bah, 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 bah. And we miss the abundance. And it's just one of those things that you just go, wow. Wow, how is it I can be optimistic when all of these awful policies are being passed in Washington, D.C.? That's a fair question. How can the market be going up? A fair question. Should I be buying, fill in the blank, Bitcoin, gold? I should probably be waiting for the next correction, huh? Aren't you worried about inflation? That'll be the big buzzword, I'm sure, in all the doom and gloom corners of the world right now. Rightfully. It's true. There's always truth in what we pander to for fear. There's lots of truth in that. Lots of truth. Because it's easier to fashion fear, a big story, not really a lie, but a hyperventilating kind of exaggeration of what's wrong when there's truth in it, than a conspiracy theory. And there is. And so we take that actual truth and we spin it into a great giant problem that we cannot overcome. Easy to do. And we all live in that. And in a world today where we have 24/7 mega hits, fire hose for water stuff coming at us, there's just no way. No way we can deal with it, but we think we can. We think we're above that. We think we're above financial pornography. We really do. We think we can take all that information in and not have it affect our lives. We really think that. It's other people's problem, not mine. I don't really have to dial back the news to have a clear perspective of what's going on in the world. I don't have to. That's other people's problems. I don't have to stop endlessly clicking on the negative articles about how we're all going to die and without really noticing all of the gold sailing things on the side. No, my mind is clear. I'm just getting information when I go to the dinner seminar to be pimped in equity indexed annuity. My mind is clear. I'm just getting information when I go. Really? No, it's a really good thing to listen in and to continue to hear about how you can be in the market and get market returns with no risk. That doesn't affect me at all. No. You see, we do think that we're above so many different things, that we can dabble here and dabble there and not get caught up in it. And it's not true. We have to be careful of what our inputs are. No question about it. None. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour, of how great this is right now. I mean, it's a really great time. I know. The world is upside down. It's backwards. What's right is wrong. Wrong is right. I get all of that. I really do. This is a world where literally, unbelievably, Cardi B's wet ass pussy. I actually watched it. It is literally pornography. It is. Is the song of the year. And we're banning Dr. Seuss. Yeah, I get it. That is really messed up. That is so messed up. I can't even believe a liberal would say that's not messed up, right? You know what I mean? It's so messed up that the most extreme leftist would have to agree, yeah, that's weird. That is really kind of weird. If they were honest. But we are going to see GDP growing 8% this coming year. That's a booming economy. And Joe and company can't stop it. I know their policies are terrible. It's only going to slow down. Inevitably, a great time. Anyway, we're going to talk a lot about that in the next hour. I've got a couple people lined up on but I got to take a quick break so we have time in the balance of this hour. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We're at 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Lee Joe, go ahead, please. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
So, I'm one of those pessimist guys. I believe the media is not putting out anything that would look detrimental to the Democrats, and I see real inflation already at a nuts level. You got the price of a board has quadrupled. Price of housing is up 25% per year at least. At least in this valley, and not quite as much in other places. This idea that able to hold off inflation, I think, is just the media not reporting on it at this point. You go to the grocery store, prices are all up. So, and you just predicted an 8% growth in the economy. So my question is, what level of growth in the economy makes it possible to pay back the 130 or 150% of GDP that we've put the country in debt now?
Yeah, it's well, first of all, I think it's a fair point that lumber has gone through the roof. Commodities have. You hear me talking to Kevin on Mondays constantly. This has been a constant concern and discussion that commodity prices are through the roof. And we're seeing it in producer prices, by the way. We just aren't seeing it at the consumer level yet. And I say yet because we will start seeing it. But what we're not seeing is hyperinflation. We are seeing inflation, yes. And we are definitely seeing it in food, but food goes up and down. It really does. And it's something that really, for core, we shouldn't look at food. And that's why they exclude it from the core CPI. They also exclude energy because one day we can be at $60 a barrel and the next month we could be at $50. Neither one makes sense for us to judge how inflationary the environment is. So it's not because we're trying to exclude something out of those numbers. I believe you are absolutely right. There's no question that the media has a very, very, very progressive bias. Super liberal, apologetic. I can't even believe they're going after Cuomo, for crying out loud. He was yesterday's hero. But it is interesting how twisted it is, right? Now it's about the woke movement, not about the fact that they hid numbers of deaths and handled coronavirus wrong in the state. So everything's twisted. I completely get that. And I think that's a huge problem, and I hope that other places like Fox will pop up, like Parler, you know, will make a comeback. Things that where we can have an independent voice, there is a need for out there, and I think that the liberals are hurting themselves when they really herd into one place and confirm with each other that they're just doing the right thing by running the United States off the edge of the cliff. Now, from a your other perspective here, which was, what are we going to do about, I believe it was, we're at 8%. How fast can we grow? That's an 8% one-year number from a very low number. It's not that it's 8% from here out. And I don't know the exact number you pay it back, because do you really think that next year we're not going to have a gazillion dollars in deficits? I know we are, don't you? Because these guys aren't going to stop. They've already said this is just a first start. Nancy herself said that. So I worry about the spending. I just don't worry about what's going to happen to that into the market and into the economy. And it is an absolutely long-term concern. I absolutely agree with you. That's the way it is. As you can hear, we're out of time. Lee Joe, thank you. Appreciate
you. I got music bringing me out here.
Yes, you are. All right. Patriot Ray, you hang on, okay? I'll grab you after the break. And Lee Joe, thanks again. That has nothing to do with it, and I'll cover more of that later as far as what my optimism is and why, okay? Kooky politicians aside, let's not make it stop us from starting businesses and living our life. I'll be back after the news. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I will be talking this hour about nothing but sunshine, puppy dogs, and happiness. But we'll see what Patriot Ray has to say first. But this is not really what I'm going to say. But I want to talk a little bit about what's right in the world. And I'm going to bring a lot of different things into this. So it might feel scattered, but I'm going to hit a whole bunch of different topics fast during this hour, okay? Patriot Ray, how are you today? Go ahead.
You know, I am well.
Good.
And, you know, one thing I love about hearing you is that you always put the positive on things and not the big negative that everybody else wants to push out there. I mean, the left is always about fear. When I was a young man and going to grade school, they talked about the ice age was going to come again and we were all going to freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to boil. Now they can't make up their mind. It's just climate change. Well, the climate changes every day, whether it's hotter, cooler, whatever. We have this ice section that hit Texas, which is an anomaly, unexpected, but we got through it. And they think that Green New Deal is going to solve that when their windmills were freezing and everything else. You, my friend, are great about giving us truth, but also letting us see the future as it's going to be. There are too many Chicken Littles in the world today who the sky is going to fall. Personally, in my life, I've been around for a while, it's always positive for me. There's always good in America. When I was a young man, my heroes were Audie Murphy, John Wayne, those who promoted the greatness of America. Today, the heroes of the young people are Alexander Kaepernick, who doesn't do anything to show the greatness of America except downgrade the police and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you for being there and telling people, hey, hold on. It's okay. It's good. Things will change. Things will get for the better. You may have a downturn for a while, but it always comes back. It always has. So God bless you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Patriot Ray. That's a great intro for this hour. I appreciate that.
Well, I hope it helps you out, because we are with you and Kevin Miller. We see the positive things in life. You turn on any other ABC groups and things, all they want to do is push the negative, and they put fear into our kids. What are our kids being taught today? Hate America, hate your whiteness, hate that you are born in America. You should have been born someplace. For those people who feel they should have been born someplace, maybe they should go there and find out what it's really about.
Mm-hmm.
Because America is the greatest country in the world. So we know that, and we bless you for your positive attitude and the real information that you give to people, you and Kevin. So thank you.
Thank you,
you
Patriot.
Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you. You do the same. May the sun shine on you. God bless you. Thank you.
It is. Thank you.
You know, it's even my good friend Kevin Miller here, the old curmudgeon. I appreciate him and the word every day. But it is easy, all of us, to live in a very negative world. The world is negative. It spins out of control around us with lots and lots of negative noise, and some of the great people that see through that and see that positivity, like Rush Limbaugh, think of that. He was a great spokesman for over 30 years for millions, tens of millions of people, and certainly pointed out the problems, certainly foiled the super libs' plans in many cases, but he did it with grace, and he did it with optimism and humor. And I think we can all learn a lesson from that. The truth is truth. You don't have to sugarcoat all of it and still have an optimistic outlook. All right, let's dive in, shall we, a little bit here? All right, first of all, I'm going to talk about the current stuff because I haven't talked about the corona numbers and stuff like that for a while, all right? It's nothing big that we have to dive into. I just like to give you all a little bit of truth in a world of we got to stay in lockdown. The viruses are this and that, and they're changing, and they're mutating, and that's going to be a humongous problem, all of those things, right? That's the way we feel. It's all bad, and it's not going to get better, and you better wear a mask. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at Joe Biden, the president, who had been vaccinated, standing by himself with a mask, mumbling. Right? Tough. Tough stuff. It is tough stuff. So let's kind of dig into this and say, why in the world are you so sure we're going to be opening up soon? Why do you think it's going to be a huge GDP number this year? Why? Okay, well, I'm not an epidemiologist. Don't pretend to be. I know that the CDC guidelines don't make any sense. Like, if you've been vaccinated fully, you shouldn't travel. And you should always wear your mask. I'm like, why? What are they talking about? Right? What are they talking about if you're vaccinated? You shouldn't ever go? Does this mean we never go anywhere? When does this? None of it makes sense, right? So they're like, well, is there any circumstance you shouldn't wear a mask? Yeah, if you're alone in your own home, it's okay. Like, that's an answer. It's absurd, okay? So we're all, and we all know that, right? Because I've already been with groups of people like, you have your vaccine? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to wear a mask? No, okay, let's not. But here's the key. 60% of the population now, and 2 million shots a day. 60% of the population has had it, or according to the CDC, because so many people are asymptomatic, have had it and don't know they've had it, plus vaccines. We now have 17% of the population. But here's the real key. If you exclude children and you go to the old folks, the ones that actually have a problem, that's why the death rates are collapsing. Hospitalizations are collapsing, right? Because this puppy's over. But we now have, for people 75 plus, more than two-thirds are vaccinated. More than two-thirds are vaccinated. That's a lot, okay? So that's what? One. Okay, that's one super amazing thing that's going on right now to say, why is the economy going to explode higher? Why are you optimistic? How can you be optimistic? Look at this nonsense that they just passed. I agree. But the world's upside down. Cardi B just got nominated Song of the Year, and they're banning Dr. Seuss. It's insane. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But it doesn't affect how many iPhones Apple will sell next year. And that's what stocks are. Stocks represent corporations that sell stuff into to other corporations and other individuals in the world. And as the world is growing and the economy is growing, they will sell more. And they will make more money, which will be reflected in stock prices. I'm not here to tell you that the world is the way it should be. That it's a good idea to keep people out of churches, but it's a great idea to burn down cities. It's insane. And it is upside down and backwards. I totally get it. Two different things. But remember, there's an entire, if you will, ecostructure out there that's trying to scare you. They make money on fear. And also, it takes and sucks the joy out of our lives. It's our job to live life with joy. It really is our job, not to be a curmudgeon, to spread joy. And if all you do is worry about what's wrong in the world, you can't spread joy. Now, why are things so good economically? Because we've been coming off of a bottom. Now, if you just want to look at recent history, which would be 2008, 2009, we have Barack Obama coming into office. Absolutely. The worst policies for business. This is not even an arguable political statement. It's not. These are terrible statements. You could say, well, but I want to be more woke, and so this is the woke guy. Okay, but it's not the business guy. So we're talking about stocks and the markets and all that, and people are like, oh, you can't own stocks. Obama's going to kill it. He's going to, yeah, he tried. He did his very best to destroy the economy. I mean, these are horrible policies. So what did the market do in 09? Right, up 40%. Why? Because we've gone so low, it can't be stopped. The world's worst policies, and the market booms. Because it's looking forward, coming off of a low bottom. That's exactly what we're doing. We're reopening, and there is a 25, 26% to be exact, M2 money supply. Big words for what? How much money is in your pocket and your checking account? You haven't been able to spend any, and you can't wait to go see those grandkids. You can't wait to go to Hawaii or wherever you like to go. Can't wait to go spend money in your favorite restaurants. We're busting out. We're busting out. It's going to happen. I stood in line and watched bus after bus after bus after bust. Not bust, bus. I mean, I think it was 8 or 10 buses before we could get on to go back to the airport in Phoenix from the rental car place. That's how busy it was. Crazy busy. And yes, all the seats were taken on the plane. A 737. Big plane. We're busting out. It's happening. It will keep happening, and it's going to accelerate. Okay? That's why I'm optimistic about it. And here's the thing. It always works. Markets always work. I'll tell you why else I get more optimistic the longer I live. I don't want to be a curmudgeon. I have a sign on the wall that says, don't let the old man in. I think about that stuff. Because as you get older, we get more set in our ways and we get more curmudgeon-y. But I'll tell you what. The world has gotten better and better my whole life. And I've sat there and watched this. This is what I was born to do, I think. Okay? I love doing this. I don't want to retire. And so I have to keep looking at the world, thinking about the world. And I sit there and I go, man, I started literally working with school teachers, $25 a month, and come back and go, hey, 35, come on, let's get a little more in. Come on, we can do a little more. Take part of your bonus, or I'm sorry, your raise and all that stuff. And we put it in and we grow. And we grow through horrible economies, stock market crashes, and everybody gets rich. I don't know how, but we have literally hundreds of people that have millions of dollars in our firm. And lots of them had, like, you know, $250,000 20 years ago or less. And that wasn't because they got a big inheritance, because it just grew. And they didn't do anything except leave it alone. This stuff works. I've got a chart in front of me from 2007 when the market peaked. And all of the things on this chart, you know what they're talking about, right? Oh, the S&P downgraded the U.S. debt. Oh, Meredith Whitney predicts the municipal bond crisis, QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then the end of those, and all of the things. In other words, there's not one good news thing on this chart. As the market rolls to all-time highs, climbing yet another wall of worry. While people are on the sideline going, no, you need to buy gold. Oh, no, you get market returns with no risk at all. Really? Yeah, because that's my grandma went like, she believed that too, right? Right? And we just don't understand. I got a chart, look at this stuff, and I go, wow. But there is a huge industry to scare you from this abundance. Monstrous industry. They call it the insurance industry. And there's a monstrous group of people out there ready to tell you, come to our dinner seminar and take back control of your retirement. What's Medicare all about? Social Security all about? The Security Act all about? How should you take out your IRA withdrawals? What about retirement income? It's a scary time in the world. The market's too high. Too high, too high, too high. From 10,000 to 20 to 30. It's too high. It's all too high all the time. And are you aware of inflation? Are you aware of this? Are you aware of that? What about the debt? All of that always feels out of control. and corporations adjust. We come up with things like iPhones, changes the world. We've got billionaires playing around in space. Well, that's a bad thing. Okay, figure out how it's a bad thing. I think it's an amazing thing because they're not paying. That's not happening with my money. If they want to launch satellites without taxpayer dollars, I love it. It's good. They're in a war against each other to see who gets to have more satellites up there. Good. It's their money. They can play with it however they want. It's not my money. And we're going to be on the receiving end of that in some way, shape, or form. But the world is changing and evolving very quickly. We forget about how technology has made this planet so much cleaner, more abundant than we ever envisioned. Yeah, we just set aside. You know, somebody says, oh, you know what it was like to be alive 100 years ago? Most people didn't have a toilet. Yeah, that's 100 years ago. Who cares? Party on. I got it. But we went through world wars. We're still here. We went through pandemics. We're still here. And we're not just here. We've never lived this well. Fight the good fight, yes. Say no to the nutty politicians. Fight them. Say no to the idea that you can't go to church. That you don't have personal freedom. And notice it when they try to take it away a little bit at a time. Notice, like, you remember that movie, Office Space, very funny little movie. But the guy, I can't think of his name, but Norman or something like that, right? So they put Norman down in the basement, and they kept taking his space away. Yeah, Norm, we're going to have to move. This is the guy with the little red stapler. You have to move your space a little bit. And pretty soon, it's little bit by little bit. Norman's like living in a box, right? Until he burns the place down in the end. But the point is, little bit by little bit, they take your liberty away so you don't notice it. So fight that. But don't fight it with such anger and rage that you become them, number one. It takes the joy out of your life. Number two, when we are like that, nobody's listening. And we need to notice that the world is abundant and amazing. And the final piece I want to put into that is all of that has nothing to do with how many iPhones Apple's going to sell next year, how many Google searches we're going to do. Yeah, I don't like those companies. Okay, I don't either. I don't want censorship on a digital level. It's wrong. Fight that. But it doesn't change the idea that these companies are highly profitable, and they don't care if you own their stock or don't. So get rich and fight the good fight. But let's not look at the world through the lens of everything's wrong and everything's bad and we're all going to die. We all are going to die. We are. Sorry. But while we're here and alive, live. And that means invest forward. Don't live in fear. It doesn't mean you go and do crazy, stupid things like buy GameStop and buy Bitcoin. Why do you think about Bitcoin? I mean, how many people? I can't believe how many people I talked to. I was like, oh, I've got it all in cash, but I got a little Bitcoin. Like, that isn't stupid. It's ridiculous. I got it all. I don't want to buy any of those great corporations, but I'm going to buy Bitcoin. Okay. I can't help you. Sorry. There's nothing I can do. And we pretend sometimes that we're having a conversation, we're thinking about things, and we're not. Our bias is so plugged in, wired in, built in, we will not change our mind with a pound of dynamite. Won't matter. We think we're making logical arguments or whatever, but or we're hearing it. We're not. We have to be careful of our inputs. Fear sells. It always has. It's not new. I've done this for 40 years, and it was the gold bugs. Now it's the annuity pimps. It's all the same, all the time. All sold on fear. Yeah, well, you could trade gold. You know what? Gold was at $800 an ounce. It's $1,700 now. When I started 40 years ago. You got to go to YouTube and see Dow 30,000. It's really good. Really good. From the 80s through now, Dow 30,000 on YouTube, Petso Financial. Got to go there and check that out. Also, I should mention this early. The 10 investment commandments, we polished them off and got them in there. So thank you for the suggestion. We had a suggestion here. Thank you for that email and suggestion. And I wanted to, again, reiterate, it's out there now. So Petso Financial YouTube. Listen, the market, the world couldn't have been worse. Seriously. For a 19-year-old man, boy, starting off with 21.5% interest rates. 21.5% prime lending rates. 10% unemployment. Markets were on their face. It works no matter what. No matter what. Markets work because companies innovate, and as long as this world keeps growing, markets will grow. And as long as there's markets, they will fluctuate. And they will freak people out for no reasonable reason. None. It's just what people do. I like to freak out and make bad and financial decisions. It's what I do. That's who I am. And I don't want to change that. Unfortunately, that's what some people do. They won't change. It's in our nature. All right, much more ahead. Hey, let's see. We've got Jim and On the Fence here. On the Fence, you're up to bat next. I got to take a quick break. And thank you for being patient and hanging on. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Let's jump on the phones. Very patient. On the Fence, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
The question we have for you is, if one takes, okay, right now we've got rental properties as a bulk of our income, and we rather like the fact of having that monthly income generated from that. The downside is when it goes empty because it's commercial property, frequently, you know, your long periods of time before you start collecting rent again. Mm-hmm. So the question I have, I guess, is I've got several people saying, well, just sell it, you know, put the money and live off the money situation. And I just don't know that I'm entirely comfortable with that because that tends to be a bit of a roller coaster ride, doesn't it?
Yes and no. It depends on your focus. And I love the question, okay? Yeah, I don't have any problem. I own the building that we reside in. But honestly, that's the reason I would never own a building outside of that, right? I just don't want to do that. But I do own real estate through REITs, okay? Real Estate Investment Trust, because these are professionals. It's vastly diversified, and they have nice dividends, okay? And they have a little bit of growth. And so those are good things. We utilize those for our income clients as well, right? People that want income off of their pile of cash. But I do own real estate, but in a liquid situation where I can get out, okay? And it doesn't have this kind of volatility because it's so vast. There's literally hundreds or thousands of properties collectively. And so if one's empty, you wouldn't even notice it, right? Okay. So that's why it's more diverse, and therefore you can pretty much count on a pretty regular dividend coming in and actually growth of that dividend over time. So I'm not saying don't own real estate, but here's the other piece of that. If you're saying it's a roller coaster of price, you're correct. But is it a roller coaster of income/value? Because the real value you're talking about or have been is saying, I like that consistency of income except when I don't get it, right? So
correct.
If we're really saying, here's my $1 million, and can I take dividends on Pfizer and Chevron and Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble? And the answer is yes. And can I build a portfolio where I'd get like 3% and grow? Yeah, you can. It's pretty easy to do with the highest quality companies in the world. But if you're telling me, I don't want you to tell me that my $1 million, like you could on a building, because we all know that, it could be worth $900,000, not a million, anytime.
Sure.
But at the same time, and in fact, when it's empty, it probably is worth quite a bit less. That happens with markets. That's the roller coaster. But if you're only looking at price, which is irrelevant, And I mean, it's irrelevant. It's only relevant when you buy and when you sell. And in the case of you're trying to have income for life, which it sounds like you are, nice, consistent income, growing stream of income, then the answer really is watch the income. Because guess what it does? It grows. Really, like 9%. The S&P 500, not even a well-chosen bunch of dividend pairs. This is a non-dividend pairs with the dividend pairs, has grown for the last 60 years by 9% per year on income. Nothing on the planet has done that. What did I say about their stock price? Nothing. I said your income rose 9% a year during that period. And there's only 3 years where it paused or even went down slightly. 2008, the pandemic, when you had all these airlines, no more dividends there, no more dividends from cruise lines or hotels, which is why you diversify, because stuff happens. But collectively, even including those pauses, it's gone up 9% per year. If you focused only on income rather than price, all you would be is ever be would be smiling, right? Because it just goes up every year. So the answer is yes, it's a roller coaster in price. No, there's nothing roller coaster at all about the income. It keeps growing.
Okay. I appreciate your input. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we got to take a quick break here for Fox News. Sorry, we got a little bit behind in my monologue. So we got to have you wait, Jim, okay? We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. All right, let's jump on the phones. Very patient callers today. Jim, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Well, Dave, what's happening?
Hey, I'm getting myself back into from my travels, getting into the swing here.
Well, good. Anyway, I was just going to say I do own the four companies you mentioned earlier in passing, so to speak, but I just wanted to make a comment about Audie Murphy, right? Okay, now, Audie Murphy was a real, live, honest-to-goodness hero, a Marine during World War II. So he was a real hero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I wanted to say, as opposed to a lot of, you know, that play heroes in the movies or whatever.
He was the real deal.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's you know what, Jim, it's sad, but so many people have come and gone that were, in fact, real heroes, right?
No. Well, you know, that's the thing. Today, everybody's a hero. And to me, it's kind of like when there's too much of something, it devalues, you know. Whether there's too many dollars, it devalues the dollar. Well, when you call everybody a hero, it kind of devalues the whole thing.
Yeah, they're just they're still out there. That's the thing that's so beautiful, really, right? I mean, there still are real heroes out there. We just don't seem to focus on them as much as we do Cardi B or something like that. And that makes us all it makes me kind of sad, because there really are some great people out there. I mean, honestly, you think about the people day to day, okay? They may not be heroes in a classic sense, but they're very, very brave people that go out there in a world of mental illness, homelessness, drug addictions, and bring these people back every day. That's dangerous. It really is. And once in a while, they get violent. But we don't pay them much money at all. We don't even pay them any notice. But they're out there changing people's lives. They're at the rescue mission. That's what they do every single day.
Well, take this scenario, okay? You have your average person today with an Apple iPhone, right? Okay, they come upon this this situation where they have a choice to make. They can either possibly save the situation, maybe a kid's drowning or something, do something about it, or they could whip out their Apple iPhone, document it, and put it on social media. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, I know exactly what they're going to do.
Well, anyway, I don't know. So,
Jim, you have a good
the open windows and buying stocks and praying for the best. And the world's still going to hell, but what the heck.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It is. But, you know, it's in the meantime. Yeah. Our world's going to,
the peace or whatever you want to call it begins with me, you know.
That's right.
It's kind of like they interview these people, and most people think that they are okay, but their neighbor is not. So mm-hmm. then they think things are bad.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing when they – how do you feel about the economy? Terrible. It's going to be bad. No, but for you. No, I'm going to be fine, but everybody else is bad. It's just a pretty consistent thing. Yep.
Well, anyway, take care. Have a great week.
You do the same. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And let's go ahead and run quickly over here to Big Talker. There you go. That's quite a name.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I don't really feel that way. I don't feel like everybody else is going to be in a bad position except for me. In fact, I kind of worry about the opposite. But anyway, you said something a few minutes ago that kind of struck me. You said that your program will work as long as the world keeps growing. Mm-hmm. Well, what if the world population starts declining? In fact, what if it starts declining rapidly? What would you think about, you know, what would you say about that?
Well, and I don't mean it's not my program. What I'm simply saying is that the corporations, if you fundamentally look and the economy is growing, fundamentally, like global economy is growing, then that means businesses are continuing to grow. Now, within that, if you even during recession periods where the world isn't growing like we went through last year, you still see some companies that do very well, like we did with tech, right? I mean, that clearly they had a great year, right? As they adjusted. So there are going to be adjustments, and there will also be adjustments in the future as we go through future recessions, whether it's a decline in the world population, I don't know. I'm not sure what you're looking at that on that, but that's obviously a possibility of stuff happening out there. I'm just saying broadly, if the world is growing, GDP, and there's a lot of people in this world that are still living at a very low level, right? Not starving to death anymore, but at a low level, whether it's Africa, parts of Asia, et cetera, there's a lot of people that are being brought along globally into a better standard of living. And that is causing a tremendous amount of growth in some pockets of the world called emerging markets. But anyway, go ahead.
No, you answered the question very well, but and you have to humor me on this because I don't think you're going to have the same opinion as me, but I have a feeling that we're going to see a large population drop. In fact, I think it's an engineered population drop within the next 10 years, maybe sooner. I think that people are going to find out they're not able to have children. There's a lot of sterilization going on. I think this could from the COVID vaccine, so-called vaccine, which really isn't a vaccine. And I think there's going to be a lot of death from it. And you probably can't even answer the question. I mean, I don't know who could. I don't know if anybody could answer that question, but I'm just curious if such a scenario were to arise, what would you consider a good investment? Or that's probably even a dumb question. I mean, if that's such a terrible thing to happen, that worrying about investments is probably not the right thing. But I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you would say in that. You know, I'd have to stop and think about in a declining population, declining GDP, what would work? And the answer typically is nothing works, right? I mean, doesn't. Gold's going to go down. It's going to depreciate. If you think about the Great Depression as a global decline of long enough duration that you could look at asset groups, I would have to say that nothing worked. Certainly real estate didn't work. Stocks didn't work. Nothing works. I guess bonds do because they at least pay. Except then the corporations go out of business, then they don't pay. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what might work, but yeah. All right, Big Talker,
right,
I got to roll. Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we've got Bob, we got Terry, and maybe you. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome. And we are cruising into our final segment here. If you have any comments, questions, that's at petsofinancial.com. Also, check out the YouTube. We're starting to pump out some new ones. We got the 10 investment commandments there. And I always reference this one because it's good to remember. how well things work. And that's the Dow 30,000. So check that out, YouTube, under Petzl Financial. Let's go to the phones. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Recently, over the past, I don't know, maybe a couple months or so, I've been coming across, in whether it's Wall Street Journal or Barron's or other financial resources, two words, SPAC and FinTech. Hmm. Now, is that some wordsmithing of something that's always been there, or is that something new in a financial world, the words SPAC and FinTech?
Yeah, well, FinTech's been around a little bit. It's, if you will, that's PayPal, things like that, right? That's financial technology. Visa, it would be another one in that category that you're well aware of, right? Even certain aspects of an American Express. But it's just a non-traditional banking is what that is, okay? And so that's what FinTech kind of represents. And I think it's a very hot and growing area. We'll continue to do so over the years. Now, as far as a SPAC goes, they've been around for a while, but now that's a special, what is it, it's some kind of, I can't remember the acronym exactly what it means, but here's what it does.
Special Purpose Acquisition Company.
Thank you. There you go. Perfect. And what that is it's a blind pool of money. Go ahead and give me billions of dollars. We're going to do, we've created a publicly traded company. And we raised a bunch of capital. Let's say we raised $10 billion, and we're going to go out, or, you know, a billion, whatever it is. And then we're going to go find something to buy. Literally, that's what it is. It's like, put your money in this, because we're really, really super smart people. And or they might have some direction for it. Right now, electric vehicles are red hot, so that's what they're doing. And you have to be very careful. So I'm glad you brought this up, because the SPACs have caught a lot of attention. They've been driven to very high levels. But I'll give you a couple of real life examples recently. And it's Virgin Galactic is one pretty well known one, and that's of course Branson's space one, and that came from a SPAC. Throw me money. I'm Richard Branson. I'm really smart, and I got some really smart people. So just throw money into this, and then we're gonna go to space. And then it bought the rockets that he had. So that's what that is. And then you have some that are doing electric cars. That's been red hot. We have one now. Let me think what that one was. But anyway, it ran all the way up from like $10 to $50. And then they bought the company, and now it's collapsed back to 25. So,
well, what's the difference between that and an IPO?
An IPO is a company that's been rolling, and now you look at their financials and you decide whether you're going to own their stock or not. We're going public now for the first time. A SPAC is public; it already is. So what you're going to do is you're basically going to say, okay, we got to seed this with X billions of dollars, and then it's trades on the exchange, and people can decide whether they're going to buy into some new electric car, don't really know what it is, and then that acquisition will occur at some point, and then that company will be automatically public, and it will be a publicly traded, let's say, electric car company now, just like Galactic. Virgin Galactic is. So it's automatically public as soon as they come out. So you don't have a choice, because you don't know the company they're going to buy. And so it's a very odd thing to have been red hot. It just shows you how much money there is out there, and it's willing to go into things like Bitcoin. It's willing to go, which is not a currency. It's not even a thing, right? It's a digital thing, and it's how it's driven up to such high value. You've got SPACs that have popped. Now the air's kind of been let out of those, but that's how much money there is out there. People are going, I don't want to sit in the bank earning zero. Here, have my billion. And so in it goes, because your guys are really smart. I'm sure you'll figure out something really cool to buy, and they do. And so that's been a really red hot thing too.
But it's not something that the mutual funds we invest in are involved with, because that's a little outside of the game, right?
It is a little gambling. Outside of the game. It would be, there is a real possibility that some of them will own a tiny bit. Absolutely they could, in a SPAC. They might be an early one, and that tends to be pretty profitable. My, you know, My quick analysis of that area says stay away, because by the time you hear about it, it's already out and you're not going to do well. The original investors at $10 are still doing well at $25, but the people who put money in on the open exchange just buying cash pool at $40 aren't doing so well. Okay? And that's one of the, that's okay. The recent electric car one. I just can't think. I think it's Genesis or something like that is the car company's name. But it's I think that might be wrong because that's a golf tournament. So anyway.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
And again, it shows you how you have to really be careful out there. There are so many things that can get red hot and flame out. So many things. All right. Again, Jennifer and Erica, great job last week. Hey, Terry, hang on. I'm going to have to take you off air. We're just about out of time here. Super job last week. I want to reiterate again. It's not that hard to be optimistic. It really isn't. If we just take the time to look at what is underlying the strength of this economy, the value, the cash out there, the coming out of this pandemic, I know you're angry about the freedoms we've lost, and that's fair. But don't let it take your eyes off the ball for the market. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.